Welcome to Dharma Glimpses, an introduction to the profound treasury teachings of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, taught by Judy Leaf. In this episode, Judy continues her discussion of walking meditation.
Welcome. In the last episode, I introduced the topic of walking meditation, and I wanted to discuss it a little bit further in this episode. Basically, I introduced the idea of the power of gesture and making a true gesture, being present in the gestures we make in our life, and also the value of working with a simple form that joins the meditation we do on our cushions and the activities of daily life, makes a strong link and brings those aspects of our life together. Often walking meditation is introduced in the context of group practice experiences where you're practicing with a number of other people. So typically, you're sitting and a gong rings and then you stand up and begin walking meditation and there's another gong and you go back to sitting. This brings up a couple of interesting things. One is that gong rings and you're sitting and then you find yourself walking. And what happens in between? How do we transition from one state to another without losing it and needing to regroup on some subtle level? So we brought face to face with the challenge of having a more continuous sense of mindfulness and awareness rather than turning it on and turning it off. At the same time, the group aspect brings up to us how easy it is to be in our practice bubble and not really aware of those around us or the environment in which we're practicing. Also, in the walking meditation, if you're walking in a circle with other people, it brings in a relationship, a relational aspect. There's someone in front of you, someone behind you, and they may be wearing funny clothes, or they may be going faster or slower than you'd like, or coming too close to you from behind, and you have to coordinate what you're doing with others. So there's a relational aspect that gives kind of a rich texture to the practice. In sitting meditation, you can check out into your own private world if you choose to do so. But in walking meditation, it's very hard to do so. Someone might bump into you or you might get kind of lost in where you are in the process. So it brings in different aspects of our life that we deal with all the time, how to relate in space, share space with other people and interact in a way that is harmonious and uplifted. I think we like to relate to landing pads and have a harder time relating to the transitional spaces of any kind. For instance, in yoga, where there's emphasis on particular postures or asanas, and they try to be with that in mindfully and clearly. But once again, as in getting up from sitting to walking, I think there's a tendency to check out in between. And so you bounce into the practice with the next asana, and then you lose it and bounce into the practice with the next asana. So both cases, the challenge is how to have more continuous sense of our life rather than dipping in and dipping out. Another important aspect of walking meditation, which I find really inspiring, is that how it's connected with going beyond our own concerns. It's connected with making gestures of peace in the midst of war-torn worlds. And there are teachers who are known and famous for their use of walking meditation in the service of peace. For instance, as a Vietnamese teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh is well known for his work with walking meditation. And there's a Cambodian teacher, Maha Gosananda, who did peace walks based on the tradition of walking meditation throughout Cambodia in its most war-torn and dangerous historical periods. He walked through the rice fields of Cambodia to bring awareness of landmines and the danger of landmines. There were left over so many thousands of landmines left over after the devastation of the Vietnam War and the regime of Pol Pot. There are other people who walk for peace. There are the movements that walk throughout the world to places of great suffering to bear witness and to bring a quality of peace and reconciliation. So you could consider these the use of walking meditation to raise awareness of suffering and to raise inspiration to be a force for peace simply and silently, simply by embodying peace, walking peace in the midst of conflict and war. So practices such as meditation and walking meditation are not simply about one's own inner world, but they're about bringing that force of peace into the world around us, into the broader environment. So from the power and stillness of sitting meditation comes the movement, the simple movement of walking meditation, to express peace through movement and the activities of our daily life. The tradition of walking meditation goes all the way back to the early days of Buddhism, which was a tradition where followers of the Buddha walked around. It was a culture before cars, obviously, and people walked from one place to the other. And in their walking, they connected with people, with what was going on in the life of the villages and the cities through which they walked. In their walking, they brought a quality of peace in the midst of struggles. And that tradition continues in the modern world, and obvious examples of the peace marches and the Gandhian movement in India and Martin Luther King and the cultivation of peaceful demonstrations. They have the idea of bringing your inner peace or quality, cultivating a kind of peacefulness in really difficult circumstances. It has the power to diffuse hatred and diffuse violence. Walking meditation, it's very ordinary and simple. Like sitting meditation, it's based on cultivating mindfulness and awareness and a gentle, tender quality of respect and love for oneself and others. But the simple act of walking meditation can be deceptive, more powerful than we realize. Training in walking meditation can help us to be able to touch in with the force of peace, even in the midst of struggle and chaos and suffering. So have a nice walk, and thank you for joining me for this glimpse of Dharma.
This podcast is made possible through the support of the Hemera Foundation. To learn more about Judy Leaf's teachings, publications, and retreats, or to contribute to the support of this podcast, please visit judyleaf.com.